All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah, chapter 9. Now, if you will remember, we are looking at the deity of Christ. And we started this last Wednesday night. My main point was to use the virgin birth of Christ in order to prove his deity, the fact that he is God. And we did that with Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean according to Matthew? God with us. All right, so there is his deity right there in the virgin birth. And then we ran a few rabbits around the side of the mountain, and then time was gone. So tonight I want us to look at a second point or fact that proves to us the fact that Jesus is God in the flesh. And the second thing that I want you to notice is that the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is what was given divine names in the scriptures. He was given divine names in the scriptures. Now let me read to you chapter 9 of Isaiah and verse 6 and verse 7. And in verse 6 it says, "For unto us a child is born." And I explained to you that was the virgin birth of Christ. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." So the first part is the virgin birth. A child is born. And then the second part of that, "unto us a son is given." That is the cross. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." So we have these two prophecies that were spoken by Isaiah more than 700 years before the Lord Jesus was born. And then notice it says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And then it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever." Forever. Then Isaiah completes verse 7 by saying these words, "The zeal of the Lord, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now, you know, to just about everything you read in verse 6 and 7, you will scratch your head and say, "How in the world is that going to happen?" Well, Isaiah explains to us that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It is God who is going to do this. It is the zeal of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So that's Jehovah. The Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, what the idea of a Lord of hosts, that is inferring a commander, All right, that is inferring someone who is in control, is in charge. And so the Lord of hosts will perform this. So this prophecy that was given here in Isaiah 9 and verse 6 and 7 is a tremendous prophecy about our Savior, about the Lord Jesus Christ. The only person in human history who could be the fulfillment of this passage of Scripture is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody else that has ever lived or will ever live who could fulfill the prophecy that is given here. For unto us a child is born. That's the virgin birth where our Savior was brought into the world completely different than everybody else who has ever been born. All right, so we all know, as I've said to you before, that virgin women do not have babies. All right, it just doesn't happen. There must be a man and there must be a woman in order to procreate. And so here is a virgin. A virgin. And yet she has a child. How in the world could that happen? All right? It's a God thing. That's how it happens. God does it. And it's the same way with the second phrase, unto us a son is given. One man came to this earth to undo what one man did in the Garden of Eden. All right, so the Lord Jesus came as one given to us. He is given unto us a son. And that is the cross where our sin debt was paid in full. In full. All right, and these two first prophecies in this long list of prophetic statements in verse 6 and 7 are the only two pieces of this prophecy that have been fulfilled. None of the rest of it has been fulfilled yet. Now, it's as good as fulfilled because God's already spoken what's going to happen. So it's as good as fulfilled, but these first two prophecies in this long list in verse 6 and verse 7, and you'll notice both verses are long verses. And these two prophecies are the only two pieces of this entire prophecy that have been fulfilled. But please realize that this prophecy of Isaiah covers the life of our Lord and Savior, the life of our Lord and Savior from his birth to his death. All right? From his birth to his death. It does not go into all the detail, but it covers from his birth to his death, to his burial, to his resurrection, and to his ascension. But that's all it covers. That's all that covers thus far. There is much more that is yet to be fulfilled. And that's what the rest of it is going to tell us about. Now, it hasn't been fulfilled yet. All right, so we got two pieces. We got his birth, we got his death. 33 and a half years between the two. All right? Now, it has been 1,000 years. It has been 2,000 years. And none of the rest of it has yet to be fulfilled. But it's going to be. All right? So much of the Bible, what we understand as prophecy in the Bible, so much of it has not yet happened. But it's coming. But it hadn't happened yet. For instance, look at the next phrase, the next little phrase there in verse 6. So he says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now watch this. And the what? The government. What government? Of the world. Yes, indeed. The whole world. You say, well, you know, the United Nations is not going to like that. Well, they don't have a say in it. All right? They're not going to have a say. You say, well, you know, the Democrats won't like that. Well, big whoop. They're going to have to find a way to get over it. You see what I'm saying? The government, what's that next word? And the government, what? Shall be upon his shoulder. Now, that hasn't happened yet, folks. I'm looking forward to it happening, but it hasn't happened yet. Now, get the time frame, all right? We got the birth. We got the death. It's been 2,000 years now. And by the way, ballpark figure, but from creation until Noah is about 2,000 years. All right? You go back and look up the genealogies and count them all up the best you can, you're going to get about 2,000 years. Then from the flood to Christ, 2,000 years. And now, from Christ till today, 2,000 years. You know, we've noticed that God is a God of order, right? So that's one reason why so many folks are saying, this has got to be it. The Lord's coming has to be soon. Now, when the Lord does come again, he's going to come in the clouds and take the church up with him into heaven, and all the dead in Christ, they're going to be raised. And we're going to spend 7 years in heaven. 7 years. And while we're in heaven, we're going to have the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be awesome. I mean, well, the judgment seat's probably not going to be too good, but the rest of it's going to be awesome. All right? And then he comes back with all of us and defeats the armies of the Antichrist, goes in then to the temple, which will have been built in the beginning of the tribulation period, and he is going to sit down upon the throne of David and rule and reign for 1,000 years. Amen. Now let's see the Democrats come up with a plan better than that. There is no plan better than that. The Prince of Peace. You see, we've been looking for peace for as long as we've been on the planet. Haven't found it yet. But the Lord Jesus is going to give it to us. There will be peace. And here's the neat thing. When he takes the government upon his shoulders, we get to rule and reign with him. Now, isn't that awesome? We get to rule and reign with him. And I'm so looking forward to that. So looking forward to that. All right, so we've got two prophecies out of this long list that have been fulfilled. And everything else is yet to be fulfilled. Now, look at the next part. It says, and his name, the name of the Lord Jesus, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Well, I'm going to tell you, outside of those of us who know the Lord as our Savior, I've not heard the world talk about how wonderful Jesus is. Have you? I really haven't. But they're going to during the millennium. You can just imagine the day that the Lord Jesus walks in to take a seat upon the throne of David. And all of the newspapers are there, and all the lamestream media is there, and they got all their cameras set up, and they're all looking around at one another in awe, in amazement. Amen. They look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're spellbound. They're spellbound. And they just look. Nobody says a word. They just look. And finally, the Lord Jesus turns and says, are there any questions? You know, a news conference. Are there any questions? Well, folks, stop and think about it. Who dares to ask the Son of the living God a question? They ain't gonna be around. You see what I'm saying, folks? I mean, the world is going to look at him and just in awe. And so the Lord Jesus is going to say, well, if there are no questions, then let me proceed to outline my plan for the next 1,000 years. Yeah. And we're going to do some things around here a little different. Amen. There's going to be justice, but there's also going to be judgment. We're not going to tolerate evil, wickedness, rebellion, not going to tolerate it. So if you have any ideas, you better get rid of them right now, because it will not be tolerated. Here's another thing. You know, this climate change stuff y'all been beating everybody to death with? Well, there's really going to be some climate change now. This is going to be real, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the vapor cloud around the earth again. Amen. I'm going to air condition the earth. It's going to be 72, whether you're in the North Pole, the South Pole, or standing on the equator down in South America. And all the wild animals are going to become tame. Your children can play at the hole of an adder, a poisonous animal. You can pick up your child and just go and set your child down beside the lion, and the lion will babysit your child for you. You don't have to worry about that child becoming lunch, because I'm changing the nature of all the animals. And we're going to close up all the hospitals, because nobody's going to get sick. I like that, don't you? And then we're going to shut down all the jails, because there's nobody. If you are a criminal, I'm sorry, but you're out of here. We're not messing with you. We're going to do away with BG&E.
Amen.
Yeah. We're going to do away with BG&E. We're going to do away with all the taxes and all that stuff where the government is taking your money. We're going to do away with all that. And he just keeps going on and on and on, talking about how wonderful life is going to be with Jesus at the throne, on the throne. And so the Lord Jesus is going to look at that crowd and say, well, we're done. So you are dismissed. And so I can see now that CNN reporter goes running out of the temple. And he's got his cell phone in his hand and he hits number one, which is his home office. And they pick up at the home office, and whoever picked it up said, tell us, what's he like? Did you see him? Yes, I saw him face to face. I was 10 feet from him. Well, did you ask him? No, didn't ask him a thing. You didn't ask him a question? Nope, not a one. What in the world's wrong with you? We sent you over there to ask questions and find out what's going on. Oh, I found out what's going on. You did? Yes, I did. Well, tell us about Jesus. What's he like? And that reporter's going to say, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. Because he is. It doesn't get any better than what it's going to get. And finally, everything is going to be set right. Now, you and I know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We know that he's wonderful, don't we? I mean, when you stop and think about what he did for you when you got saved and how everything changed, and you put a desire in your heart to want to know him, and you started reading the Bible and growing, and the Lord's blessed you beyond comprehension, hadn't he? Amen. So we all sit here and say, oh, I know he's wonderful. But folks, this is the world going to be calling him wonderful. I mean, we already do, but this is not us. Today, these same people use his name to curse and to blaspheme and to mock the Holy One of Israel. But I'm telling you, folks, he's wonderful. The last part of Isaiah's prophecy is all yet in the future. And the only scenario that makes sense is that the Lord Jesus Christ will be called these names during the millennium. The 1,000-year period after the 7 years of tribulation and after he returns to this earth and literally steps once again upon the earth to defeat the armies of the Antichrist, well, these names can only be a description of him. They can only mean him. They can't mean Donald Trump. They can't mean Joe Biden. They can't mean Obama. What? I couldn't think of his first name. Obama. I said enough. His name shall be called Wonderful. Man, do you remember? Hold your place here, but let's turn over to the New Testament for just a moment. And you might remember the book of Luke, chapter 18. All right, Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. All right, so chapter 18, and I want you to look down at verse, look at verse 18. It says in verse 18, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these things have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Now, folks, if he had sold everything, he would definitely have followed the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you talk about getting a blessing. He would have gotten a blessing beyond measure, and he would have known where that blessing came from, and he would have followed the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice that the Lord said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good save one, that is who? God." Good master, only one's good. That's God. Jesus is God. That's the point. Jesus is God. All right, his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. You see, only the omniscient God could be the perfect counselor. Only the omniscient God could be the perfect counselor. In Psalm 16 and verse 7, we read, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season." So right there, I will bless the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, who hath given me counsel. Who's the Lord? Jehovah. Who's Jehovah? Almighty God. So there he says, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel." Multitudes of folks are running to see this person or that person or this doctor and that doctor, and the best that they can receive from going to a human being, the best that they can receive is human counsel. All right, you with me on that? That's the best they can receive. And as Christians, I just wish we would come running to the Lord to seek counsel for our hearts and minds before we go running to somebody else. All right? The best counsel you're ever going to get is out of this book. It's right here in this book. And so I have had people through the years, and they'll say, "Pastor, I'm having trouble with," and they'll tell me what they're struggling with. "What do you think I ought to do?" And so I will say, "Well, let me give you a couple of verses here." And I'll write down a couple of passages of scripture and hand it to them. And I'll say, "Now here's what you do. You go home and you read these verses until you get them up here." All right? You get them up here. And what you're going to find yourself doing after a little while is thinking like God thinks. Does that make sense? You think like God thinks. Now, if you go sit and listen to a counselor, and they give you, in most cases, worldly wisdom, all right, then you're going to be in danger. All right, you're going to be in danger because you're not getting the right counsel. But who is our counselor? The Lord is. So let's just go to Him. All right, let's just go to Him. As Christians, man, I wish we would just come running to the Lord. His counsel is that which cannot and will not fail. It just cannot and will not fail. Then notice, His name shall be called the Mighty God. In other words, the one prophesied to be the Messiah was to be God Himself. That's what Isaiah says here, folks. I'm not making this up. Look at it. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. I mean, that's pretty clear, don't you think? In other words, Jesus is God. Then His name shall be called, look here, He's progressing. Now notice, His name shall be called the what? Everlasting Father. So Jesus is God. We're talking about the deity of Christ. And right here in all of these prophecies, listen, folks, the Lord wants us now to understand and accept what Isaiah tells us about Jesus by faith. He wants us to understand that He was a child born. He was a son given. That one day the government's going to be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. You see, the Lord wants us to, by faith, believe that now. And those of us who are saved do. Okay? But those of us who are saved, the day is coming, we're going out. Now, when we get to heaven during the tribulation period, are we going to be up there saying, I don't know if I believe in this deity of Christ stuff? Oh, no. We're going to know beyond shadow of doubt. We're going to see Him face to face. John said, when I turned, I saw a lamb sitting upon the throne, as if it had been slain from the foundation of the world. Well, we're going to see Him, folks. He's going to hold out the nail prints. Show us the nail prints. He's going to show us the nail prints in His feet. He's going to pull back His shirt and let us see the hole in His side. That's our Savior. No, wait a minute. That's our everlasting Father. That's our Almighty God. That's Jesus. Folks, don't forget John 10:10, where the Lord Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Exactly. Now, one more thing to notice about Isaiah 9 here. Look at verse 6. All right, look at verse 6 again. Jesus as a man was born, but Jesus as God's Son to be the Savior, our Redeemer, was given. You see the difference? The Son, the whole idea here is that God's Son came to be our Savior. He, our Redeemer, was given, was born, but Jesus, as God's Son, to be our Savior, our Redeemer, He was given. I just think that's amazing. just absolutely amazing. Notice from verse 6, Jesus, the Messiah, God in the flesh, has always existed. He's always existed. That's amazing too, right there. All right? It says, and to establish it down in verse 7, with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. He always has been and he always will be. That's our Savior, our Redeemer. All right, I hope that helps you see a little bit more. All right, now there's another prophecy that we need to look at before I move on here, but I don't have time to do it tonight. So, sorry, but I don't have time. All right, y'all got to go to work in the morning, and so do I. So, let's pray, all right? Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. I pray you'll bless this to our hearts tonight. Help us to see how these prophecies, two of them have been fulfilled, but there's many more that are yet to be fulfilled. And Father, it's by faith that we believe they will be. I just pray that, Father, you'll bless your word to our hearts tonight and help us to see that our Savior, our Redeemer, the Son given, is God in the flesh. There is no doubt about that. And from these names that he was called in Isaiah, we know that today is coming when everyone is going to look at our Savior and say, wow, he's wonderful. So bless this to our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.